Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. It's a privilege for me to just continue to preach on the fulfillment of the law, the new life, the life of grace, which is so dear to my heart. I love the message of grace. There's nothing else but the message of grace. You know, so many times we say, no, Bertie, we must just have a balance. Now, you know, the moment I hear those words, I want to become tired. Because what balance do you have between grace and the law? There's just one balance. Or sometimes we want to say that we must balance out between deeds and grace. How can you balance those things out? Grace produces all the things. Just have grace. You know, hallelujah. It's like saying, no, we must have a balance between a fire and petrol. What balance is there? Just bring the fire to the fuel and you'll have a fire to the maximum ability of that fuel. It's the very same with grace. Bring a man to grace and you will see what God does in his life without him having his mind on what he must do. Amen. I've got a wonderful scripture that I've quoted in the last two sessions and I want to read it out of the Message. Man, if you don't have a message, get one. It's really got in there is here and there where I see a little bit of law, but in the interpretation, but most of it has got a grace mentality. The guy who wrote this wrote it into with a grace mentality. Bless God. I want to just read here Galatians chapter 2. I don't know what the verse is. There's no verses here in this Bible. It says, have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make an accusation that since people like me, who go through Christ in order to get things right with God, aren't perfectly virtuous? You see, that's what happens so many times. When we preach grace, the moment we preach grace, you'll find an accusation from somebody under the law that will say, listen, but he's not perfect. He doesn't get everything right perfectly, so let's be under the law. And that's what Paul is writing here. He says that have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? It's the very same thing under the law. Who under the law is perfect? Who under the law is sinless? No one. And the same thing under grace. Unless Jesus Christ comes back, when Jesus comes back with all the saints from heaven that died before us, we that are still alive on this earth will be like him and we will receive immortality. And in that day we will be perfect in manifestation. Hallelujah. Right. Now let's go on. So now what Paul is saying is, because you don't see me as perfect in what I do, you want to say that Jesus and this message of grace doesn't work. Now that's so many times the whole thing with this balance teaching. You know, don't get into that. Get into Jesus. Get into the finished work. Believe the principle that I preached on last week. The principle of the kingdom of God is this. That one man disobeyed and through his disobedience sin entered into this world and all became sinners. In the same way, one man obeyed on all people's behalf so that many might be made righteous, those who believe it. And it believes in the God that justifies the ungodly according to Romans. Now, let's read on here. Let's read the whole piece. Have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? Are you ready to make an accusation since people like me who go through Christ in order to get things right with God aren't perfectly virtuous? Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin. And this is what the people said. You know, Paul, under grace is just a license to sin. The accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good. Now listen to this, man. This is what Paul says. He says, if I was trying to be good, I would rebuild the same old barn that I torn down. I would be acting as a charlatan. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do this. I identify myself completely with Him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. I have no longer it is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God. I think the King James is by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Isn't it clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that. Now, hallelujah, I also want to say, like Paul say, I refuse to go back to the whole law thing. I'll never do that, because I must then deny everything that God has given unto me freely. You see what he says there? He says, you come and you bring in an accusation against a people that are not perfected in all their deeds, and then you say the grace message is a license to sin because the grace guy did this and the grace guy did that. Now, I preach this to people who are under grace that might feel an accusation that comes your way because you might have done something wrong, told a lie, or did something that was not right, and all of a sudden, oh, but you under grace, why aren't you doing everything perfect? Now, what Paul says, he says, listen, I'm not even trying to do that. He says, if I was still trying to do right, I would be rebuilding the old barn that I've torn down. He said, man, I've worked my head off trying to keep rules and it doesn't work. Now, I tell you this. If you are under the law, check your life. Are you perfect? You are not. And then you are willing to say, but I want to receive grace in the area where I sin, but I don't want grace in the area where I live righteous. You need grace in every area of your life. You need grace in every segment of your thoughts and minds, because a human without God is without grace, and he is dead. It's like when God made Adam, he was made from the dust of the earth, he lied there, and without the breath of life, which I believe is grace, he couldn't become alive. He couldn't be who he was. Hallelujah. So God came so that we can have life, and that we can have life more abundantly. He manifested himself in Jesus Christ. And that is the way we look at things. Now, we're going to go into Romans chapter 8, and we're just going to look at a scripture that is also sometimes confusing. And then I'm going to see if we'll have some time to get into Genesis, where God created man, and with the fall of man, to just see where the law was implemented and how the law came into existence. Right. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, one day, and I said this in a previous broadcast, you know, but it's so funny, I've been on the air for a couple of months now, and I'll still get calls, man, I've seen you for the first time. And I just realized it's going to be like that all the time. There will be people that will say, I see you for the first time. Now, I want to say this. The Bible says here that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, when I was in Bible school, one day I came late for Bible school. My mind was just very active. I couldn't sleep at night. I would lie down in bed and just start to make calculations. You know, 20 minus 3 plus 5 plus 8. And I would just start to think like that. My mind would be too active. I would think of the gospel crusades. I would think of preaching to people. And I couldn't sleep. And then the next day I would be so tired. You know, then I want to sleep during Bible school. I couldn't. That's when I had to be awake. And then I in the afternoons, I go and I preach. And I would get up in the morning early and pray and do all those things. And I just couldn't keep up that way anymore. So I went to a doctor friend of mine, and he gave me some sleeping tablets. And I drank. Now, I've never had that before. And I think this was a very strong tablet. So I drank one of them, and it knocked me out. Now, the Bible school started at 8 in the morning. And I pitched up at about 9:30. I was completely late. I overslept. I came into the Bible school, and the guy that was teaching there said to me, now, where were you? I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was late. He says, no, that's no excuse. So I said to him, you know, there's no condemnation for me, for I'm in Christ Jesus. And then he said to me, yes, but you only read half of the verse. Read the whole verse. The verse says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You were in the flesh, satisfying your flesh in bed, lying and resting. If you're not in the flesh, there will be no condemnation for you, but there is now because you're in the flesh. Man, and was I condemned because I didn't understand that scripture. I just said, well, I was in the flesh. You know, my flesh needed rest. And I was in the bed and I was just in the flesh. And now there's condemnation for me. Now, if you want to interpret that scripture the way in which I've just given the example, you know what's going to happen? It's just going to be frustration upon frustration. You're back under Moses again. You are back under Moses again. You're back under the law. And just, by the way, I want to say this. Paul taught, and you can go and read this in Acts chapter 21. He said, forsake Moses, man. Forsake Moses. And was speaking about the law. And all the traditions that were under the law. Forsake all of that. Don't even think of that. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 16. Don't think of the old or former or even mention it or talk about it. Forget it. Forsake it. You say, oh, but there must have been something wrong with Moses. You know what? God also said that. There was Peter, James and John on the mountain. Peter said, let's build a tabernacle for Jesus, a tabernacle for Moses, and a tabernacle for Elijah, a tabernacle for the Messiah, a tabernacle for the law, which was Moses, and a tabernacle for the prophets, which was Elijah. And let's house all three of them. And then a voice came from heaven, which was God's voice, and spoke unto Peter and said to Peter, this is my son, listen to him, man. Leave the other two. Listen to my son. He's the fulfillment of it all. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean in the son we must do it all. It means he has done the prophets. He's get the previous teaching. You'll be blessed by that. The previous 2 weeks, it will just bless you. It will touch your life. It will change your life. Amen. So, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that if we get back under Moses, which God said, leave Moses, which Paul preached and said, leave Moses. Paul, the big doctrine maker, the one that laid down the doctrine which is called the foundation. And if any man builds upon it, he must take heed how he builds. He must build with precious stones, gold and silver. Precious stones, gold and silver means the following. Silver is redemption. Gold is divinity. And the precious stones was the stones that was in the breastplate or the covering that the high priest had on him, which speaks of the church. So, preach the message of the divine redemption of the church. That is building on the foundation, but hay, wood and stubble, which will burn, it all speaks of doctrine, doesn't speak of deeds. Hay speaks of a measuring reed. Wood is the same Greek word that was used when Paul's feet were in the stocks. It speaks of bondage, a message of bondage, or a message where you must measure up, or then a stubble, which speaks of a feeding enclosure. Only here at our church you can get food. And only, you know, that type of thing is not what you're supposed to build with. It's going to burn away when you see the goodness of God. You will say, well, this means nothing. God was better. I've wasted my time. So, let's get and move in grace. Now, this is Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which says, don't walk. There's no condemnation if you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if we want to use the word flesh, therefore our physical flesh, talking about needing rest or eating food or that type of thing, we are missing it because flesh is not speaking about the physical stuff there. Flesh speaks, and the context and the Bible language for flesh is to be justified by what you do. That is it. To be justified by what you do. You can go and read that in Galatians chapter 3. Paul writes, he tells the people, you are in the flesh if you seek justification by your works. So the flesh is to be justified by your works. So what Paul was actually saying here, there's no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who seek not to be justified by their works, but that are in the Spirit. And the law of life of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. The law of the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. Let's read it. It says in verse 2 there, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let me put it in the word, use the word principle, because that's what we love to use these days. Another word for the word law is the word principle. For the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the principle that if I sin, I'll die. For the principle or the law of Moses, could what it could not do in that it was weak through my own flesh, my inability to do it, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Man, isn't that powerful? That is so, so powerful. So what He's saying here is, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not by what I do, I'll be blessed. Now think in your mind what you can put in there, by what I do, I'll be blessed. There's nothing you can do to be blessed. Now you might say, well, Bertie, if I just go on and I sin. You know, the moment you think like that, it just brings forth your law mentality. What you must think of is the new life in Christ Jesus. Because I am under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I've got the Spirit of life in me. It's not as if I, you know, if we take the law away from people, they will go and sin. And they will do whatever they want. But what we've done is Jesus took the law away, but then He gave you life instead of the law. And now you've got life, the very Zoe of God, the Spirit of life in you. The Spirit of the new man in you. The Spirit of God in you, by which you live now. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? That is so, so powerful. That is profound, man. That's the goodness and the good news of God. He came to give you His Spirit of life instead of the law. So the law was the thing that was the unctioning power inside you that was taken away because it brought forth sin because of the weakness of your flesh. Jesus came and He gave you life instead of the law. So never think of when the law is fulfilled of a man empty. Think of a man full of the life of God, full of the Holy Spirit. That's the law of the Spirit of life. Amen. So all I want to tell you with the fulfillment of the law is, don't you want to exchange your rules and regulations, trying to obey rules with your own human effort, for the life of God? Amen. That's all we can have. The life of God. It says, for what the law could not do, the law cannot declare you righteous. The law cannot bless you. That's why Jesus came to fulfill the law, so that you for once can be righteous. Amen. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know, Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. You know what condemned sin in the flesh means? This is what I believe. To condemn something is to rule against something. If you have got a product that you farm and you take it to the market and they say this is condemned, it means it cannot be sold. It does not qualify to be sold on this market. So sin was condemned in the flesh by Jesus Christ. So if sin comes with an accusation against you in front of God, if you are in Christ Jesus and not seeking justification by your works, but by the finished work of Jesus, you know what's going to happen? God will say unto that sin, you are not powerful enough. You are condemned. You don't qualify. You don't have enough strength. You don't have enough ground to bring in an accusation against this person. You are condemned. You are too weak to make this man guilty. That is what it means. He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness, the word righteousness also in the Greek means a good thing done. That the good thing that the law can do might be fulfilled in us. And what's the good thing the law can do? The law can bless you if you obey it. So Jesus obeyed the law so that the good thing that the law can do, which is to bless you if it obeys you, might be fulfilled in you and in me. Man, I don't know how to explain it more clearly. Father, I pray for people right now. They will just have an enlightened mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you think of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus opened their minds unto the Scripture. He enlightened their minds unto the Scripture. So, what does it mean to have an enlightened mind unto the Scriptures? If you look at the sacrifice of Jesus and you apply it to Scripture, the Scripture will open up to you. But without looking at the finished work of Jesus, trying to apply it to the Scriptures, the Scripture will be closed unto you. I hope I make myself clear. If you take Jesus and you interpret it in the Scriptures, if you read Jesus in the Scripture, not what you must do, the Scripture will be opened up to you. It will be easy to explain about every Scripture in this Bible. Like I said about Esther. You know, so many times we look at Esther and we want to see what we must do to get a crown. Now that's just foolishness. Don't do that because you're not seeing the Word. Jesus is called the Word of God. So if you want to see the Scripture, or the Word, if you see Jesus in that Scripture will open up to you. You will say, oh man, I see what it means. There was a nation that was dying. You know, it was under a death threat. They had to die. It was just a matter of time. They will be killed. There was a lady who prepared herself for the salvation of the people to find favor with the king. And there was a man called Jesus. He prepared himself. He came to earth. He was well pleasing in the eyes of the king, which was God. And salvation came unto all men. He did everything that had to be done. He pleased the Father. He pleased the King. He obeyed all the rules and all the laws. He was perfected before the Father by what He's done. Like Esther was by what she's done. She found favor with the King. She prepared herself, the same Jesus. And if you see it that way, like I said in one of the previous broadcasts as well, with Elijah and Elisha. Here's Elijah. Elijah speaks of Jesus. I want to see Jesus in that Scripture. What happens? Jesus goes to heaven. He drops His mantle. What dropped after Jesus went to heaven? The Holy Spirit. And now today we have the mantle of Christ Himself, which is called Christ. We are Christians. Amen. Not by rules and regulations. Let's take the Bible. Let's take every Scripture and interpret it spiritually. You know, God is Spirit, man. Don't interpret the Bible physically. You're going to miss it. See Jesus in every Scripture. Don't try and see you. Well, I must do this and I must do that. Like Elijah and Elisha. Elisha following Elijah every little place. And now we're saying, you know, if you follow this, don't see the law in the Scriptures. See grace. Hallelujah. That's it. See grace. See the finished work of Jesus. It will enlighten you. It will bless you. Amen. See grace in every Scripture. You will find peace in your heart. Blessing in your soul. Amen. You know, I know there are so many people of you that's watching this, and it blesses you. But you've still got sickness in your body. You've still got pain in your life. God wants to heal you. He wants to bring life to you. He wants to bring prosperity to you. He wants to bring joy and righteousness into your life. And I'm